So good morning again. Thank you again for being here. We're excited that you have, again, chosen to be with us here this morning. And so we just want to express our thanks to you, to let you know that we do appreciate that. You are a community church, is a place that has been so good to me. And so I believe that you can find the same things that I've found here. And that's just people that love each other and understand that we're all imperfect, and we're just doing our best to be perfect through Jesus Christ. And so if you're a guest with us, we hope you'll come back and hang out with us. We're wrapping up a series this week, a five-week series that we've been looking at some I am statements from Jesus. It's our series titled I Am Jesus. And if you're here for the first time, just so you know, I do not think I'm Jesus. All right? So it's not I am Jesus. It's he said that he is Jesus. And we look at these I am statements that he has. And we want to understand who he is. He made it very clear and described that to us. And so we want to take these statements and be able to internalize it of that's who Jesus is. And when we face things in our lives, whether they're good or bad or, you know, whatever, that we're able to let him be Jesus in it, because we know who he is. And so we've looked at several of the I am statements. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. He said, I am the way, I am the bread of life. And if you eat of me, you will not be hungry again. He says, I am the gate, and I'm the door by which you enter. He says, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. And we studied that back in week one. So just in case you want to listen to the podcast. He says, I am the light of the world. Y'all, that might be the only time y'all laugh all day. So anyway, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness again. What an amazing promise. He says, I am the vine, and you are the branches, and if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And we need to understand that that's who Jesus is. And when we allow those I am statements to become part of our relationship with him, we can depend on him in everything that we go through. No matter how difficult it may be, that we can trust him. And so today I want to look at the I am statement where we see that that he is the resurrection and the life. And we want to dig in and begin to understand what all that entails. And then we find it in John chapter 11. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open it up to John chapter 11. If you have your phone app or whatever you may have, but it's there on your program, you can follow along and we'll put them up on the screen for you as well. But in John 11, 25, Jesus told her, he's talking to Martha here, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. You see, we need to all begin to, we need to understand that we're all going to live forever. And see, that comes as a kind of a surprise to some of us, because we say, well, if you don't know Jesus, you're not going to live forever. Well, yeah, you're going to live forever. All of us are. It's just a matter of where we're going to live. We're either going to live eternally in a relationship with God in heaven, with him, in his presence, with all that God is right there with us, or we're going to spend forever in a place called hell where it's total absence of God, total absence of the love that he has for us, total absence of everything that he is. And so today he says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. And so we want to dig down into that. Somebody once asked, do you really believe in resurrection? Well, yeah, I do. I absolutely do. Because without the resurrection, there's a key part missing to the whole thing, to the whole faith, to everything that we believe. And so I want to celebrate today Jesus' resurrection. I want to celebrate what that means for us and to be able to understand it in a greater way. And so this scripture that we're going to look at is found in a much broader context of what's going on here about a guy who did die and was resurrected. His name was Lazarus, and we're going to look at the account of where Jesus brings him back to life. And so I want to read through the story. We're going to read bits and pieces, and some of them will kind of bounce around. But I want to encourage you to not just take what I give you today, but to then go and read this account for yourself and let God speak to you through it. And it begins in verse 1. It says, a man named Lazarus was sick. And he lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. These are some really good friends of Jesus. And they are there together in Bethany. It's a place where Jesus would have been a little bit in a lot of trouble as he went through there, that it was very dangerous for him to go to that location. But here they are, and they find out that Lazarus is sick. They're very good friends of his. So verse 3, it says, so the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. That's some very bad news in the middle of a good life, isn't it? Some of us here today are celebrating a lot of things. We're celebrating Easter, and it's a positive day. It's a very uplifting time, and we've done you've done a lot of things where you've decorated eggs and maybe got your baskets this morning when you got up, and you did all those kind of things. So it's been a very, very good time. But we need to always understand that even in the midst of the most positive things that we may celebrate, that there are people that are hurting. Now, there's people in this room who are going through some extremely difficult things. There are some people in here that behind the mask of everything are falling apart. And so today we come and we know that, and we need to understand that, and we need to look at the context of this, that there may be some people in this room that are very sick. And Jesus is here. He finds out that he's got this news that a friend, somebody that he loves, is very sick. Maybe that's you. Maybe today you've got some really bad news. Somebody that you love is sick, that they're not sure what the next steps are. They're not sure how long they may be around, how long you may have with them. Maybe it's not a person who's about to go away, but maybe it's a job that's about to go away. Maybe it's that phone call that you got this week from the principal at the school, and they weren't calling to say that your kid was an honor roll student. Maybe it's just that there's just turmoil at home. And today we want to look at all of that in this context. We don't want to ignore anyway, but here Jesus gets some bad news that the one that he loves is sick. How can you imagine, like, they send somebody to go get Jesus, right? To tell him that he's sick. But then in verse 4, we read this. It says, but when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. Now, can you imagine being the guy that ran all the way to tell him that? And then Jesus says, it's really not that bad. It's not going to end the way you think it is. And it's just going to be for God's glory. Can you imagine being that guy having to run back and tell them, hey, Jesus said it's for God's glory. Can you imagine trying to be that messenger, trying to take that message back and explain to everybody else that's already just really worried about things, how that's going to go? But here's this message. Jesus lays it out very much that he knows what's happening. It's not going to end the way that you think it is, but it's certainly going to end the way that God wants it to end. So in verses 5 through 14, there's some things there. We're not going to read all of it, but everybody is believing then that Jesus is just going to come. That now that he's got this message, he's going to take off back to Bethany and do what only he can do, right? They know that if he comes, he could heal Lazarus and everything would be just fine. So everybody assumes it's going to happen, but Jesus takes his time. He hangs out. He didn't just hang out for a little while. He hangs out for a couple of days. He's just there doing his thing, and everybody else is like beginning to panic. Like, Jesus, Lazarus is sick. Don't you think we should go? You know, you think you might want to get on the way, Jesus, you know, gonna die. You need, and so Jesus is just hanging out and everybody's freaking out. You ever been in a situation like that where things, you know, something's happening and you know something else needs to happen, and in the midst of that, everybody is just going crazy trying to figure out what to do next. And here's this situation that's going on, but Jesus says, you know, listen, Lazarus is, he's asleep. And it's good. And they're like, he's asleep. No. He's dying. He's going to be dead when we get there, Jesus. But I think we need to look at this in the context of Jesus being Jesus. And then we look at this account of, hey, something bad's about to happen and something's about to die, right? I think all of us, if we're honest, we've all faced things that are about to die. Maybe it was people, but many times it's more situations. It's things that we go through and things that we're looking forward to and things that we want to happen that maybe get there, but what they end up being is a dead end, right? Now, I'm not just talking about the girl you dated in junior high. You know, that was a dead end relationship. It wasn't going anywhere. I'm talking about some jobs that you thought were going to be the ones that were going to get you where you needed to be, but it didn't work out quite that way. Maybe there are some relationships that didn't work that way. Maybe it's that business that you started that was going to work out, but it just didn't work out. We face dead ends all the time. And so what we're going to look at in this scripture, that there are some dead ends here that we've got to be able to avoid, and there are certainly ones that we find ourselves in. Dead ends. There's Thomas, there's Martha, and there's Mary in here that we need to be able to look at. And so if you want to track along in your notes, the first thing there is, the first dead end is that they're dead in your doubts. Maybe today you're just dead in your doubts. In this passage of Scripture, we see Thomas there. Thomas is known throughout the Scriptures for being doubting Thomas. You know, and he never believing anything and having to see it for himself and having to touch it and feel it for it to be true. And here's Thomas. He's talking in verse 16. It says, Thomas, nicknamed the twin. In some translations, you'll see the word Didymus. I think that sounds like kind of a funny name for a rapper. But anyway, Didymus, he said to his fellow disciples, let's go to and die with Jesus. He's just saying, listen, let's just go get it over with. Let's just go on with Jesus and let's just die. Now, the disciples were trying to get him to go, but then Thomas was like, well, let's just go with him. If he goes there, he could be, you know, it could be bad for him. Let's just go with him. Just doubting that this whole thing is going to work out the way that Jesus has already told him that, listen, I got it. It's under control. Thomas is like, let's just go die with him. Maybe you're like Thomas and you're just dead in your doubts. You're doubting some things. Maybe you're just here wondering if things are really true. Can we just be honest in the room today? And if you've ever experienced doubt in your spiritual life, could you just lift your hand up? I think if we're honest, we've all had those doubts, right? We've prayed for something. We've prayed that God would do something and he didn't do it. Is he God? Is he really who he says he is? Is he really the creator of the universe? If he is, then he should have just done what I asked him to do. How in the world, if he's such a good God, could he let something like that happen? If he's really all-knowing, then he should have taken care of that in the beginning. And I shouldn't even have to ask. So we begin to doubt. Could this really have happened? Could this, you know, this whole book, is it just a fairy tale or is it true? We doubt things. Some of us are in the room have just begun to doubt who he is. Maybe it's your faith that you're doubting. Maybe you've been working with that guy that just doesn't believe. And he's the guy who's always being negative and always putting down what you believe and always thinking that he knows more than you do. Maybe he's got you believing a little bit of it. Maybe he's got you wondering if it is all true. Maybe it's you just look at the world around us and you just wonder, how in the world could he let that happen? How in the world could he allow things to be the way that they are? Maybe you're not like Thomas. Maybe you're a little bit more like Mary, though. You're not dead in your doubts, but you're dead in your discouragement. You're dead in your discouragement. You just don't see anything good happening. Just can't seem to get a break. You just can't seem to for things to work out. And you're just really discouraged. Mary was there. See, in verse 20, it says, when Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary did what? She stayed at home. She didn't even come out of the house. She didn't, it had no meaning to her. She figured things were so far gone now, it just didn't matter. She was discouraged with where things had gotten to. Why bother to even try to do it? Some of you are here. You're just thinking, you know what? Why even try? They're not going to do their part. They're not going to love me the way that I want to be loved. Why should I love them back? Man, that boss, he doesn't care about me. He doesn't respect me. Why should I even work hard? Why should I? I'm tired of doing this. Tired of living this life, and everything is just going against me. Some of us in the room have come in today, and we are dressed up. We got on our Easter colors. Y'all like my shirt? My wife got this for me. Yeah, my daughter picked it out, and my wife got it for me. Kind of cute, I think. Anyway, so they dressed me good. But some of us came in today all dressed up for Easter. Nobody wore a hat today. Why do we not have, where's the hats, ladies? Y'all ain't got no Easter hats? Anyway. But we came in today dressed up, perked up, all excited about Easter. And we came in with making everybody believe that we have just got it all together. Somebody has asked you, how are you today? And you have said, fine, brother, I got it all today. It's good. Jesus is alive and I'm all fine. But inside, you're not fine. You're hurting. You're miserable. And you don't know what to do. Some of you ladies came in today and you said, somebody said, how are you? And you said, I'm fine. I'm just as fine as pie today. Things are just wonderful. Praise God, Jesus. But you're not fine. And you're having a hard time praising him because of what's going on inside. Because home ain't much of a home right now. It's just a house where you got a roommate. And you don't know what to do about it. We come in discouraged. Listen, I've got to tell you, there are times where I get so discouraged. Man, if I battle anything, it's discouragement. I'm just being honest with you. You can ask my wife. We can have some of the most incredible services here, and all y'all leave out of here like, man, that was awesome. And I go home, and it's all I can do to lift my head up. Because I'm discouraged. I just get that way. Today, there are people who need to be here who aren't here. Now, some of them are regular people that should be here, and they're not here. But most of them are people that have never been here because we've never invited them to come. Now, I'm not getting on you. I'm just saying that there's a responsibility we have, and I get so discouraged because I believe there are so many people that need to hear this message of the gospel and allow it to come into their life and change them. Some of the stuff they keep dealing with over and over and over again is because they've just never come to know I am. And I just got to tell you, I really do want everybody to know I am. I know that sounds crazy. I know you're like, no, there's no way that everybody's ever going to. It's up to me, everybody would know. And everybody would accept it, and everybody would live through it so that they can become more of who God wants us to be. None of us are perfect. But man, when we know the one that is perfect, life is so much better. But you're just dead in your discouragement. Maybe that's not you, though. Maybe you're not dead in your doubts. You're good with that. Maybe today you're pretty encouraged. And let me just tell you, I am encouraged today. But maybe you're a little bit like Martha. And you're dead in your delay. You're dead in the delay. Maybe you can relate to Martha here. She was wondering why God took so long to do what she had asked him to do. She had wondered why Jesus didn't come when she sent word for him. Verse 17 of John 11 says that when Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. Now, why does that matter? See, in the time that Martha and Mary and Lazarus were living, there was this, not a Christian belief, but a cultural belief that the spirit would remain around for 3 days, and after 3 days, it would be gone. So here they are on the fourth day, so that the spirit would have even been gone by now. Jesus took so long that now the spirit's not even there for him to hopefully maybe put him back in there, right? So they're just totally discouraged. They're totally just not believing what's going on here, because if Jesus had only come maybe a day earlier, the Spirit would have at least been there, and there would have been something that you know she could have done, or he could have done with that. She could have had some hope in that. But at 4 days, the Spirit's gone, and there was something else going on. See, Lazarus had been laying there in the grave for 4 days. Now, you know that, if you don't know, I work part-time in a funeral home. And if we were to bring somebody in and lay them in somewhere, unrefrigerated, just left them laying out there for 4 days, some things would begin to happen that you don't really like, you don't want to happen, okay? We don't do that. We want to take care of that as soon as possible. Because the moment, you pass, things start breaking down. And so here's Lazarus. He's in the grave for 4 days. And Martha described it this way. For you King James folks, I love the King James Version when it comes to describing Lazarus at this point. She said, he stinketh. Right? He stinketh. That's like a holy stink. I would have been like, man, that dude stank, you know. But she said, he stinketh. Because things were breaking down and not good, and he's there just, man, it's not a good situation. Spirit's gone, body's breaking down, smelling up the place, everything, and then finally Jesus comes. And Martha looks at Jesus, she says, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. That's a heavy thing, isn't it? You ever said to somebody, man, if you'd have just been here, that wouldn't have happened. You know, it's happened. Sometimes as a pastor, that's a big deal. Because if I'm not there, then things aren't, people think things can't happen. I'm like, listen, I can pray for you from there just like I can from there, and it's just as powerful because I'm praying to the same one who got it all under control. But I get it. Sometimes it works like that. And she's thinking, man, Jesus, where are you? If you'd have just been here, this would not happen. Things would be good. Some of you are dead in your delays like Martha. You're thinking, man, if something would just happen, it'd all be good. Some of you Christian girls, y'all, you've been like, man, if I could just get married, you know? And so everybody that you know is out at the club. They're doing their Humpty Dumpty stuff or whatever. And, you're not doing the Humpty Dumpty, and so... But they getting married and you're not, and so you're thinking, man, maybe I should do the Humpty Dumpty or whatever. Y'all aren't comfortable with that whole Humpty Dumpty thing, are you? I'm just being real, okay? I'm just being honest. So that can mean a whole lot of things, right? Anyway, but you're like, man, things aren't happening like I want them to happen. And I'm trying to do things right, but they're not happening the way that they should happen. You know, some of us are here, we're just waiting on something, some financial stuff to happen. We're like, man, I'm trying to live on a budget. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. But I still, at the end of the month, I ain't got any money. Why ain't it working? Why ain't something happening different? Some of us are believing that God would heal somebody, but the thing is they're getting sicker and sicker. And you're just wondering, where in the world is Jesus at when I need him? You know, this week I was reading through my Bible, and many times I use my computer to do that, you know, and just it's a little bit easier. I can blow up the font a little bit bigger because I can't see it as well in my Bible. But yeah, if you're 40 and older in here, you'll get that. But the thing is that I opened up my Bible. As I'm reading this account, I realized that on page 896, that there's some really bad stuff happening in the life of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. That he's dead and Jesus didn't show up when they thought, and they're looking for him to do something. And so here's some really bad stuff. Jesus, if you'd just been here, that wouldn't have happened, and all of this stuff. And so it's kind of interesting. If you look at page 896, things look really bad. But the cool part is there's a page 897 where things begin to look a little bit different. And so here's Martha. She's looking at Jesus and she says, listen, if you'd have just been here, it wouldn't be this way. Things would be better. Verse 22, she looks at it and she says, but even now, Jesus, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. I mean, she's got down to where things are bad. Lazarus is stinking, and it's been days, and things aren't going good. And she says, if you'd have just been here, this wouldn't happen. But even now, I know, Jesus, if you would do whatever you would do, that it'll happen. That God would answer your call, and things would change. And some of you need to hear that there's an even now to what you're praying for. That even now that something can change, even though you've been calling on God to do something, don't get discouraged and give up. Don't get dead in the delay that God's just not doing what you want him to do when you want him to do it. Just because he's delaying doesn't mean he's denying. We need to know that there's an even now. Some of you need an even now moment. You need to know that God can do something, that all things are possible. And listen, whatever it is, whatever you're going through, whatever you've been praying about, there's an even now to this moment. There is a page 897 that can come from everything that you're looking for. In verse 23, Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." She's not getting what Jesus is saying. He says, Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never ever die." And then he asked her this question. He says, "Do you believe this, Martha?" Very pointed question. Do you believe this? Jesus said, "I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. And if you believe it, you'll never die." Jesus said, "I'm the resurrection. I'm the one that makes things change. It comes through me." See, here's what you need to understand is that the resurrection is not an event, but it's a person. See, I think we've been celebrating this all wrong many times. Because we celebrate it as an event that happened. And I mean, we call it that. We say, hey, you know, this is the greatest event in human history. It is. That Jesus would rise from the dead. But we need to understand it's much bigger than the event. Lazarus raised from the dead, right? But Jesus says, I am the resurrection. I'm the one who makes this happen. Lazarus doesn't rise if Jesus doesn't raise him. It's a person, not an event. Page 96, it's all bad, y'all. Everything's negative. But then you turn the page to 897 and things turn around. Lazarus, right where he is, right, just as stinky as can be, laying there and something amazing happens. Let me get a little participation. Who's got a really deep, loud voice? Deep, loud voice. Deep, loud voice? You? Anybody? Anybody else? Anybody think they've got a really deep, loud voice? You? You think you got it? Okay, because here's what's going to happen. You're going to play Jesus, okay? Hold on. Don't mess it up. Don't mess it up. Don't mess it up. Verse 43. Then Jesus shouted. Y'all know why he shouted? Because Lazarus was dead, y'all. He couldn't hear, all right? You shout at dead people, all right? Anyway, So he shouted. What did he shout?
Lazarus, come out.
This is Jesus, right? He's God.
I think Mark should do it.
So,
Mark.
Well, let's just have a competition. All right. Who's the better Jesus? It sounds like church all the time. Anyway, all right. So Jesus shouted,
Lazarus, come out.
Jesus shouted,
Lazarus, come out.
I love you, Nick. He said, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, y'all. Let me just tell you, if I'm working at the funeral home and the dead man comes out, there's going to be a new doorway in the building. Y'all ever there and see me running? You better run. I'm just saying. Yeah. You're only good if you can outrun me. I can promise you that because I'm going to be going. But the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. And Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. All right, I'll give you all another chance in a minute. All right, so listen, I love to contrast these stories because what happens is that there's two tombs with two stones. There's Lazarus' tomb where Jesus had to tell the guys, "Hey, roll the stone away, so I can call him out." There's Jesus' tomb where the ladies go to the tomb thinking, "Oh my gosh, how am I going to get this open? Right? How are we going to move this stone? Right? They're wondering how that's going to happen." Jesus says, "Move that stone." Easter Sunday, Jesus said, stone, move. And that sucker rolled out of the way, and the tomb opened up, and he walked out, y'all. Amen. He left the grave clothes behind, he came out, and he was good. Some of you today are dead on the inside. All joking aside, all kidding aside, all my funny jokes aside. Y'all actually laughed today. I was really excited. Some of us in the room are dead. We're breathing. Color's good. Everything's, you know, we're moving. But we're dead inside. We're miserable. Let me just tell you that if you are here and you have a relationship with Jesus, you need to understand the life that lives within you. If you have a relationship with Jesus, but yet you feel dead inside, let me just tell you Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. So if he lives within you, you got life within you. Start living like you got it in you. I know that's easier said than done. I get that. But let's begin to understand who Jesus is and let him live that out inside of us. That when we go to the restaurant, they don't have to wonder if, you know, if we are Jesus followers or not. They should know. Not because we talk about him, but because we let him live in us. Some of us are dead in the room today because we've never had that relationship begin. We've never come to the place to realize that what Easter is all about is that Jesus, God's Son, came to earth, sinless and perfect, and lived a life to set an example for us. And he took upon himself the sin of the world, the penalty, which was death for sin. And he died on a cross, nailed to it, after he was beaten beyond recognition. And he died on that cross, not just for the display of it, but he died to pay the price for me and for you. So that through our belief and trust in the fact that he's paid the price, that we can believe it and know it and accept it, that our sins are forgiven, the penalty's paid, and we can begin a relationship with him and with God who created us and made us so that he could have a relationship with us. See, Easter's about the fact that he died on that cross, but then he was taken off and buried. And on the third day, Jesus rolled that stone away and he walked out of the grave through all the power and love that God has for me and for you. And today, by believing and trusting in him as the resurrection and the life, you don't have to be dead anymore. So wait. Comes down to this. Jesus asked Martha this question. He said, do you believe this? And today, guess what? He's asking you that question. And you got to answer it. Do you believe it? It's a yes or no question. It's not, oh, my mama does. That's good for your mama. She'll be in heaven. If you don't, you won't be. It's that simple. This is about a personal relationship. And so today we come to this place. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Do you believe it? Maybe today you believe it. For the very first time, you believe it. You want it, and you want to experience that life, and you want to experience what he has for you. Become all that he created you to be. Then today is the day that you make a decision. You say, yes, Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are. Yes, I believe that you did what the scriptures say, that you died on a cross for me. Paid the price for my sin. You were buried and raised again. And today, I believe you and trust you. I accept you as my Savior. I know that when I make that profession, that confession before you, that I'm saved. And I now have a relationship with you. If you make that decision today, guess what? You have life. And you get to celebrate Easter like anybody else in here. Unlike, because some of us, maybe it's been a little while since we accepted this, maybe not as fresh, but today if you accept him, man, you get to understand it fresh and new right here, right in the heat of it all. We want to do everything that we can to help you walk in that decision, but then for the rest of us that are here, and maybe we've not been living this out like we say we should, that we've not been living as if we have the life in us. Maybe it's time to just confess that. Maybe it's time to be changed by him, to change our way of thinking. That's called repent, to bring your thinking in alignment with God and begin to understand this is who he wants you to be. This is how he wants you to live. And then you get to enjoy the fullness of that life with him. Jesus said, I am. I am. I am. Are you going to let him be that today? It's your choice. Let's celebrate. Let's get excited about the fact that he is who he says he is. Let's live it out. And in just a moment, the band's going to come and they're going to play. And listen, this place is just open for you to come and pray. And just maybe there's some confession that you need to make. Maybe there's just, you just need to come and be thankful that Jesus did what he did for you. And you get to do that. Nobody's going to be wondering what you're praying about, what's wrong with you. If they are, then shame on them, and they need to get down there with you. But today, let's let Jesus be Jesus and celebrate him as if he is. Live it out the way that he would want us to live it out. God, today we pray that you would just move. God, today we come and we just ask that you would just reveal yourself. Maybe today somebody is here just doubting you. And God, my prayer is that you would show yourself to them. Whether it's the situation that they're stuck in or just however you choose to do it, but God, that they would know that it's you and only you. God, maybe somebody's just discouraged. God, may the power of the gospel today encourage us all. God, maybe somebody's just tired of waiting. Maybe it's that they're waiting on the wrong thing. So God, I ask you to show up as only you can and to meet them where they are. God, we thank you today for the cross where the price was paid for our sin. God, we thank you for the empty tomb. That you would go to that length to have a relationship with us. So God, I just ask that you'd move. Bring us to where you want us to be, in Jesus' name. Amen.